This is good podcasting material.
This is great.
Chocolate milk is bomb too. So I was.
Chocolate's disgusting.
Milk is terrible.
What is wrong with
milk? I like dairy, but milk on its own, like a glass of milk.
I used to have a glass of milk this tall every day.
Well, not really.
Start my day.
Milk chocolate is milk
every day.
Pretty much cow juice, if you think about it.
Yeah, cow juice is delicious.
Milk is globules of fat suspended in water. That's all it is.
I drink soy milk.
And that's gross.
Soy milk. I'm a fucking hippie.
I've switched to almond milk.
Yeah. Almond milk.
All right, this is not a podcast.
26 notifications on Twitter.
They can't hear you. So shut up.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah. Okay. Hey guys, welcome to the first and only podcast from PAX South 2016.
Yep, this will pretty much cover it.
Yep. One single podcast.
I'm Nick Henderson.
Yes, you are.
I was Nolan.
Yep,
Nolan Hedstrom.
I'm Nolan.
Crispy.
Hey, what's up?
Bradley Simons. And Carlos is sitting.
Yeah, I'm standing really far away from the mice because there's not a lot of space. So in order for me to talk, I have to stand up and make an actual physical effort. Hope you appreciate that.
He probably won't be talking much because of it.
But don't worry. He'll interject with his thoughts.
Carlos, how about you tell me what you played and I'll give my opinions on it.
So I played a couple games. I played
Why can't you lean over Nolan?
Because he likes you.
He wants to be closer to you. Anyway, before we get started, so PAX in general. This is the second PAX South ever.
Correct.
I think
it's a great show.
I think it's a good venue. I think it's a good location. I think there's a shit ton of people there today.
I think we're all happy it exists.
Oh no, totally. it's very convenient for us.
Lots of cosplayers.
Yeah, sure. I think there's a lot of potential in the convention. I think, unfortunately, it was much smaller in terms of new games and games in general than it was last year.
I've heard of.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I feel like the highlight of this PAX has been the Twitch party.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good time at the Twitch party.
I don't know. I played some pretty good games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that, like...
We could have gone to the... It's blank party with lots of booze, and some of us would have enjoyed it.
Sure.
Wait, which party?
The Twitch party.
Oh, I thought he said blank.
They did have a quality band, though. What are we talking about?
Yeah, let's.
By band, you mean me just playing a kazoo?
Yeah. Carlos busted out a kazoo at the Twitch party, which was.
Well, was it Pat O'Brien's that had the dueling piano bar, too?
Well, we're. That room smelled like farts.
It did.
That's why I left.
And they were just playing like nerdy songs.
I walked into PAX yesterday for the first time when I got there like
five.
No, I walked in the door and within seconds I was like, damn, it smells like fart in here.
PAX is all about getting a lung full of stranger farts.
But so. I've been to a lot of PAXs in my life and never has the smell of fart wafted into my nose so fast as it was in PAX South. I don't know why.
And you know why? I know exactly why it is. Because it's all these people who aren't from the South coming to the South and eating all their Tex-Mex, and they're eating a lot of beans.
and beans
and cheese. And so then they're just farting up a storm.
And that quality Texas beef.
Yeah.
They're beefing all over our faces.
So over Tex-Mex, man.
Well, that's because you've lived with Tex-Mex for the past 40 years.
How many tacos
it's
do you think
you eat? Scary because he's close. I was like, that's a ridiculous number. Oh,
how many tacos do you think you consume in a month?
I don't know.
I mean, I can't put.
I don't even like Tex-Mex.
Are we talking like one a week, two a week?
Sure. Well, who eats one taco?
I don't know. Well, Maybe this guy.
I went to Fuego the other day. Had one.
Oh,
taco.
I guess Fuego.
Dude, I eat tacos like every fucking day.
Well, that's because you're cool.
Oh yeah, I see where you're.
You know what else is cool? PAX South. I'm going to be very positive here. I've made a lot of discoveries of games I've never heard of.
Name one.
Games that maybe I would
just
not
name
want
one
to play.
Game. No, we'll talk about it.
Umbrella Corps.
Umbrella Corps. We played the brand new Resident Evil game. For years, we've been waiting. What is next for Resident Evil?
No, it's not Resident Evil. It's just called Umbrella Corps. It's not a Resident Evil game.
It's a Resident Evil game.
It's called Umbrella Corps.
Well, you know, 6 was disappointing, and for a long time we were like, what are they going to do next? They're going to fix it.
They're certainly
going to reboot it. They're going to bring it back strong. Umbrella Corps. Corps? What do y'all like?
Corps.
Corps.
Corps is the
Umbrella
correct Corps. Pronunciation.
Yeah.
It's a 3-on-3 multiplayer shooter with some mobility options.
I will say this. As far as unknown quantities go, or bigger budget, like higher profile games, this is by far the biggest thing at PAX South.
It's not.
As far as like...
This is a $30 digital game.
I know, it's a $30 digital game.
He means as far as the company that is producing a game.
Yeah, Capcom is the largest publisher.
This is a huge publisher making a, and for all intents and purposes, a sequel, not really a sequel, or a game in a very established, very popular franchise.
Yeah, dude, but I mean, I assure you that Street Fighter V is a much higher profile than Umbrella Corps.
Yeah, I guess for sure.
Well, the Capcom booth
has
two of the biggest games.
Last year, the biggest thing at PAX South was, as far as like, I mean, Nintendo had a booth last year and they had
the biggest thing,
the new 3DS.
Yeah. And they also had Monster Hunter.
No. Yeah, Monster Hunter was the big deal because Majora's Mask was like,
Everyone played it, but it was anyone's first time seeing it.
Dude, but
they were playing it on new hardware.
They showed the new 3DS, which was the first time.
I mean, if we're talking about like actual just like biggest game present, it's Dreadnought.
Yeah.
Like just like it was last year.
Well, they want us to think.
Well, that's that's their biggest presence, because literally like the biggest booth in the room is Dreadnought.
It is.
That developer had like layoffs recently, I don't know.
Jaeger?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's talk about Umbrella
Corps. Circle back around to Umbrella Corps.
3-on-3.
It doesn't matter the quality. Maybe it's fine. I don't play a lot of shooters. Carlos, did you play it?
You played it.
I don't play a lot of shooters.
No, Carlos did not play it.
I will tell you that. Okay, so this game is going to ultimately, it comes out in like May. It's a $30 digital download on PC, PS4, Xbox One.
Yeah.
It's Resident Evil is not even using the title, even though obviously it's a Resident Evil game. Yeah.
There's zombies on the battlefield.
That's the cool thing about it. It's an arena-based multiplayer shooter with zombies thrown in throughout the map. So it adds an element of like tension that you may not have from your average arena shooter, I guess.
I mean, you see something moving, and it might be a dude, or it might be a zombie.
I got shot. The most times that I got killed, I was shooting a zombie and then got shot from the side.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is when you shoot the zombie, you give away your position, and other people know what's going on. So, yeah, I mean...
Carlos, I don't know, you're chronicling your buttons over there. That seems super weird. Can you try to find the developer for Umbrella Corps while you're on your computer? Because I'm curious.
I haven't been able to get on the internet yet.
I don't know if this is a competent shooter or not, but I'll tell you one thing I really didn't like about it, is when you're in the third person, that camera is locked to your shoulder. You can't see anything in your periphery. And it's not like Resident Evil 4 style. It's like, it is up there.
Yeah,
like, your dude is covering...
You see the back of his head.
You see the back of his head, like, covering a large portion of that screen. And you can't shake that. You can't detach the camera from his body and look around you. It is locked. It might as well be a first-person shooter.
There's an option to switch shoulders. But, like, the temptation to go into Iron Sights just so you can, like, kind of see what's going on around your character... is really strong, which actually doesn't help that much either, because it zooms in pretty far on the
The arena itself that you're fighting in, the one they showed off at least, was pretty boring.
Yeah.
Dude, everything about that game is pretty boring.
This is bland.
It's like bland army dudes, bland zombies, bland guns, bland arena shooter, like, or bland maps.
Terrible logo.
Like, it's 3-on-3, too.
That's a weird number.
Yeah, why 3-on-3?
It's all their servers.
Like, they literally couldn't afford like to put two more players in the game.
Management. It's probably a balancing thing. I don't know.
I'll tell you, this maps I think were built for like 3-on-3.
The first footage they ever showed of this game had that faux competitive gaming or faux Major League Gaming or whatever, like commentary.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Like, this game's their pitch is that this could be
an esports
e-sport. Type game.
What? Which, you know what? So
that's probably what they're gunning for.
That's got to be what they're gunning for.
But like, I don't think it's going to happen.
I can't think of any other reason why this game should really exist.
I don't know, man.
Unless they were trying to break
really,
into that market.
The only hook that it has is the whole zombie thing. Which, if I remember correctly, Umbrella... what was it called?
Umbrella
Chronicles was like very... Wait. Was it Umbrella...
Raccoon City.
That's what I'm talking about. Operation Raccoon City was similar, if not basically the same. But like... So they have the zombies on the map that you have to be conscious of because they'll attack you if you get too close to them. But that didn't ever really feel like a huge concern. Mm-hmm. And like a big mechanic of the game too is that your character is carrying a zombie jammer backpack.
That's weird.
That as long jammer? As yeah, yeah, as long as that backpack is intact, it makes it so that the zombies don't notice you unless you get like right up in their grill.
What?
But when you're getting shot, that backpack can be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, then zombies just start like running at you, which is kind of annoying, but like anytime I've been getting shot, I've just been dying. Like it's not like that has been a huge, it's not like I got out of a firefight but my jammer was destroyed, so now I have to like use my remaining bullets to fend off zombies, which is like what they're going for. But
if they balance
you're
a little
so
bit,
squishy that
if they balance it a little bit, it makes you not die so quickly. That could turn into something that would make the fights more interesting.
Here's the reality. Not only is there better shooters out there, there's much more like clever multiplayer games with interesting twists and stuff. This game has no chance of catching anyone's attention. And honestly, we're probably giving it more lip service than it deserves.
It caught a bunch of attention.
Dude, I'm not.
Their media appointments are booked through the whole weekend. Double booked.
You said we weren't going to talk about this.
I'm not talking about anything.
I didn't say Alicia.
What?
We're not talking about. Okay.
Alicia still got.
Hey,
to play
let's
the game.
Talk about. Hey, Brad, real quick, what did you think of Banner Saga 2?
Not much to say. I mean, it seems like more Banner Saga.
Should I go play that?
Was it Banner Saga 2 on the show floor last year?
No, the first one. No, wait. Was it?
I thought something was over there.
Wait,
no, they had Banner Saga 1 over there last year.
Okay, right.
But it had already come
post
out.
Post launch.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because Banner Saga didn't come out last year. Yeah. 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm saying they had it on the show. I just remember seeing Banner Saga on the show.
Oh, yeah. It was here.
I couldn't remember. Okay.
Maybe. I mean, it looks like more of the same, to be honest. But, I mean, that game is all about kind of atmosphere and the vibe. I mean, I'll probably play another one of those. Hopefully Austin Winter is still doing the soundtrack, but...
I couldn't really hear it.
That first one was really... It was beautiful.
That guy can make some great music.
Now they're in boats instead of walking?
Yeah.
That's cool.
There's a little things that I was hoping would improve going forward with this series, but it really does seem quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
You know what I saw that had some improvements?
What's that?
Was Dying Light the following expansion.
Wait, that's here?
Yeah.
They have one unit on the floor showing it off. We didn't even know.
It's
there's
like
no
AMD
sign.
Booth or
it's at the AMD booth.
You know, last year you found in the back
Alienware.
Of that damn
Alienware truck. Yeah. So I checked it out just because I know it comes out in not too long from now.
February 19th.
February 9th, I think.
That's a big day, apparently.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Fuck.
But yeah, so I finally got to play a little bit. So I got to mess with the buggy and stuff. And that seems like
that?
A lot. It's pretty good.
Dude.
I enjoyed what little I got to play with it. I was running over dudes.
It seems all about managing your buggy.
And so, yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't realize your buggy has fuel. So you have to find random cars and siphon fuel out of the gas tanks.
That's so
to
cool.
Fuel up your buggy. You have to manage your buggy's like tires and shocks and like all the different things have like
upgrades,
but they also have levels of like how like almost health.
Oh,
and if they get degraded, your car kind of reduces its stats.
Yeah, you have to
repair it with items you find in the world. And so it seems like they are really adding a whole lot.
Dude,
and I'm excited.
I've been really surprised. I've been checking out like all their PR emails and the new trailers they've been releasing for it. Like, they're going all out with this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really surprised by the support for this game post-launch.
Dying Light was, like, a sell success, too.
Oh, totally, yeah.
It was, you know, one of my biggest surprises from last year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. People like zombies.
They do?
Yeah, like, I said this in my top 10 video. I'm not kidding. Dying Light may be my favorite zombie game I've ever played.
Resident Evil's a zombie.
Well,
game,
I also said that's not Resident Evil.
Okay.
Well, besides Resident Evil,
there are things that Dying Light does that Resident Evil has never touched.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
you
know.
A game that's, I guess, similar to that, that I played that I thought was pretty cool is Overland, which is another game where you're kind of managing a vehicle.
Talk about Overland,
looking for
we
fuel.
Talk about
it. It's kind of like FTL, where you're trying to get to a destination or a goal. Trying to get out, maybe like Oregon Trail even. But every so often you make these stops, and these stops are these very like abstracted, almost like a Final Fantasy Tactics like game map or whatever. And you're on a road in your car and you stop for whatever reason, whether you found another person or you're just looking for supplies, and you'll see like a dumpster and maybe a couple of monsters, and it's all about kind of getting some resources, getting some fuel, maybe picking up a weapon, getting back in your car and advancing to the next map.
Is this the game you were playing yesterday when I first got to the dimension?
With those two buttons. You only control the game with your mouse. Yeah. Left click does most things. Right click switches characters.
So the whole concept of the game is that you're going from the East Coast of the United States to the West Coast.
Yep. Yeah.
And the overworld map is kind of laid out very similar to that board game we played, Tokaido.
I don't know if Nick played that with us.
I haven't played
that. Oh, you didn't play it.
The concept in Tokaido is everyone's trying to move across the board, and you can only stop at certain places. Right. So in this game, you have to choose.
Those maps each have different resources.
I was watching you because you'll come to a point it's split, right? And you can go.
And you're going. It's like it's a horizontal line, and then there's a bunch of like tributary lines breaking off of that, mm-hmm. and you can only pick like up or down.
Yeah,
can't go to both. And each one of them has like a resource. So it's like, oh, if you stop here, there might be gas.
There might be.
But it'll also give you like a danger.
Kind of like Invisible
rating.
Ink, how you had to choose whether to fly to this place to get this resource or fly over here.
So it's like you can find gas, you can find like health packs or weapons or equipment, you can find new people, but like the amount of people you can carry is determined by the size of your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like your car only has room for three people in the beginning. But you can find like other vehicles and salvage them. It's really
also
interesting.
It's also kind of a stealth game. Like certain things you do like create sound, and you're trying to avoid that because you know, there's enemies that like spawn not only over time, but they react to sound. And it's very much a setting where they could have been zombies, but they're not. They're kind of these like alien creatures, almost like Tremors.
Yeah,
like,
kind of.
I'm like,
Graboids, kind of.
Like Kevin Bacon.
Or like the ant lions from Half-Life 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
So what you were talking about, like, you know, going across the country and stuff and stopping at places, and that's kind of also determined by your gas. So you have a certain amount of fuel.
Everything,
everything. So you'll have two choices, two places you can go, and one might be three fuel and one might be six fuel. And maybe you only have six fuel.
Yeah.
So what if you go to that place with six and you don't find any fuel
You're heading on foot.
You have to walk.
Yeah. It's
until you find another car.
Seriously.
Like, that is crazy.
It seems really cool. The visual style is quite captivating. I'll say this though, like, I want to see a little more variety.
Yeah. So I played it for, I don't know, 20 minutes, and I felt it kind of got a little samey. I kept finding sticks and bottles.
But I think as you progress to like later areas, it gets a lot trickier.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like FTL in that sense.
The funny thing is when we first played it, like, Brad found a dog. And he's like, sweet, a dog. And then he drove off and left the dog.
Like, you have to put everyone in the car.
Yeah, you have to physically put each person into the vehicle.
Yeah, poor dog. Which is kind of cool, too, because they have, I like the mechanic, too, where if you get, like, when you get in the car, you have to, like, actually hit a button to turn it on before it'll drive. But once you're driving, you can actually use that to, like, drive by other characters, and there's, like, a command to, like, pull them into the car and then just, like, keep speeding off, like, if you're being surrounded. Another thing that this game has that I really like for a turn-based strategy game that not a lot of them have, it's got an undo button.
Oh, yeah.
If you make a move and you're like, I don't know about that, you just hit the undo button. It's great. Maybe that's a little fucking casual.
A little casual for someone who's finished Final Fantasy Tactics, I guess.
But everything I hated about my experience with Final Fantasy Tactics kind of revolved around that whole, I didn't realize that that's how this system worked. I wish I could take that move back. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Live with your mistakes, adapt.
Yeah.
I guess it seems like
it might be pretty fun.
But it's not like having that button like makes the game that much easier. I got through like three segments before my car exploded and killed everybody because they were all in the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I played a game today. I think y'all played as well.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Color Thief.
Yep. Oh, yeah, the gecko chameleon game.
You play a little chameleon living in a world where color doesn't
exist. You can fly
exist.
In that game?
What?
I figured out how to
Brad accidentally activated debug mode.
Oh.
Which is much faster to get around than walking.
Well, I would imagine. I don't think that's going to be a feature. That
probably not.
Did you just type in no clip? Or
no. If tapping both bumpers.
Really?
On this build. Yeah, because, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Color Thief, Nick. What's it about?
So you play this chameleon living in like a black and white world. And he hasn't seen color before, and for whatever reason, some color is introduced into the elements of the world, and you, as this chameleon, are walking around, like, you basically walk up to any object that's has color.
Take its color.
And press X, I think.
And you press a button, yeah.
Absorbs their color. Like, it literally comes off the wall and into you, and the gecko becomes that color.
Chameleon
becomes that color. And then you can walk over to other things and take that, put that color into it.
That's one of the cool things I realized or thought about when I was playing the game, is you can put that color on anything.
Yeah.
On the ground, on a speck and a piece of tile on the floor, on
even
a plant,
like a small,
whatever.
Even like on a small section of a wall, you can put it there.
Yeah.
Does the Gila monster swim?
No, the Komodo dragon does not swim.
So it's a puzzle game, and you're using these colors to act to unlock doors, and it's a matter of trying to find ways to pull the right colors to do certain things or access certain colors, or figure out how to, because like, you know, a lot of like, they have these doors, and the door has a certain color. You can't pass through that door unless you are that color. So
yeah.
You got to find the color, but sometimes you need to take a color through the door, but you can't take that color through the door because you have to be
the color of the door.
The color of the
yeah.
door to go through it. So it's a matter of what can I put this other color on that will give me access to it on the other side
of
the wall?
I'll say this. Is there any color mixing?
No.
Okay, I was there for 10, 15 minutes, and I was sitting there playing it. I asked that question, and I heard three other people come behind me, and the first question everybody asks is, can you mix colors? And her answer was, we thought about that, But the moment you introduce that, you suddenly have to have the ability to unmix the colors. And she said, essentially, we tried a few things that way, and we realized, you know, that you could essentially break any puzzle in the game.
Turns into a brown.
Yeah, it's like a muddy brown color.
Is there like a lot of platforming with the salamander? Yeah.
Not too much.
No,
there's not much there. It's an interesting idea, but there's not much there. None of the puzzles seem too tricky.
No, I mean,
you can't. When the newt has like green, he can put on. There's vines, and you can put it on there and climb up the vines.
Oh, wow. Okay, so basically, when you're pulling, so anything that's like part of the natural world, whether it's plants or water, you know, you can put any color you want into them. As long as there's color, it'll make them like grow,
that color, or whatever.
Basically, when you take color out of those things, it removes any like natural properties of it. So water becomes a solid surface.
When you take the color out of it.
When you take the blue out of the water.
So you can walk on it.
You know, plants just shrivel, and you know, you take the green, but as soon as you put the green back in, they grow back and give you access that you can climb. It looked kind of rough, like when the iguana was trying to climb up the wall.
Did you even do that on purpose?
He was just stalling for time. He's like, what's another lizard? What's another lizard? just fucking, iguana!
I think I've run out of lizards. I don't think I know. I was going to get into dinosaurs on a second.
A what?
Sink. A sink?
Yeah.
That's not funny because nobody knows what that is.
I've never heard of a sink.
Yeah, I know sink, yeah. Nolan's not everybody.
I just don't know that much about lizards.
What else?
Seriously, like the animation of the lizard like climbing up the wall still seems pretty early.
Oh no, yeah, the game seems early.
Yeah, yeah. But like conceptually,
not too early for Valve to buy them for the new portal.
Conceptually, looks pretty cool. There was like a 2-year-old girl playing it though when I first got.
Dude, was like the funniest shit I saw at PAX today was it was like a fucking 6-year-old. Doing the virtual bike thing. She could barely reach the pedals, but she was like freaking
the
fuck out.
She's trying so hard.
Oh, the Oculus Rift VR.
Yeah, no, dude, I was so confused. I walk over to this booth.
She was racing an Indy car.
I walk over to that booth. There is a person sitting on a bike pedal machine with the Oculus Rift on their forehead, pedaling really fast.
Pedaling
I look at the
so hard.
And I look at the TV, and it's a fucking race car. I was like, wait, what is going on?
Dude,
was like
there's a horse, too.
She's
a
up. Horse? Okay. Yeah. Okay, I guess that's weird.
So another game that I played, I don't know who else played. I know some of y'all saw it, but We Are Legion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's the one that y'all originally told me about, but it's the game of a billion dudes or whatever.
Is it a billion?
It's however many you want.
For the longest time, I was convinced this game was called Millions of Dudes.
The hook is that there's no unit
cap.
That's
a better game than fucking Legion.
Yeah.
No, Millions of Dudes
called,
sounds like a real indie game.
It's not Legion, it's We Are Legion.
We Are Legion.
Millions of Dudes is still
that. Millions of Dudes is a pretty good name. We should let them know that maybe they... Well, the problem is the game's already out, technically.
Yes. Can you patch that? Change the name of the game?
Patch
that
under
title. DLC, Millions of Dudes. But yeah, so it's 4-player versus, and everyone has a dragon master?
Dragon Lord.
And that's the guy that can kind of control everything. And so he's controlling his
like an army, like a field of battle, right?
Yeah, so it's like an RTS game, kind of. But instead of controlling, you know, micromanaging like small amounts of dudes, you're literally controlling
millions.
No, well, I haven't seen a million. They said that you can have that. The most I saw on the screen while I was playing was, I think, 10,000.
999,000.
No, I saw 10,000.
Did you count them individually?
No, when you highlight them all, it tells you how many you've highlighted. But anyway, so yeah, so you the basic of the game, yeah, you create a barracks, and then dudes just start popping out of the barracks. As long as that barracks is there, it'll keep producing dudes. And then you can add like a gold mine and then like a jade mine. And the gold is what you need to build more barracks and more gold mines and jade mines. And the jade is what you need to cast spells. So you can actually cast spells. So you can like have a bomb go off and kill a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you kill them all, you cast a necromancy spell on them that revives them, and now they're skeletons. But so you can like set the bomb off in the middle of the enemy territory, yeah, and then revive them, and all of a sudden now they're your guys.
It looks like casting these spells looks like using a cookie cutter, like on a sheet of dough. Yeah, you're just like boom, 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 like knocking out these giant holes in the enemy forces.
I'll be honest, I wasn't too thrilled by the way the game looks.
Oh yeah, so it's very plain.
Jesus Christ.
It looks like
when you have that many units.
Well, the thing is, you can actually zoom in.
They're dots, like they're all dots.
Yeah, well, you can actually zoom in pretty close. You can zoom in pretty close, and you can see the characters.
Yeah, they look like Lego minifigs.
Yeah, it's just, the problem is most of the time you don't want to be that zoomed in because you can't tell what's going on. You need to zoom out.
I'm not trying to be a stickler, Brad. I was just.
My only problem, like, the dudes move so slow, and I don't think they move slow. I think it's just the map is so fucking big that it takes them forever to get anywhere.
It reminds me of that game where the zombies are, like, slowly taking over the planet.
Yeah, they slowly spread out, and everyone's army is a different color, and you just slowly start to see these colors, these blobs just build larger and larger on the map as their forces are growing. I don't know, it was kind of fun.
I did play a game that looked kind of nice.
If you're going to lay like that, maybe you should point your mic down a little bit or something.
Yeah.
I did play a game that looked kind of nice today. It's called Stories. Did anybody try out that?
Dude, that's been on my list of stuff to see, and I have to see it tomorrow. I haven't seen it yet.
It is. It's on one of the booths.
Yeah, no shit.
Wow, thanks.
It didn't like knock my socks off, but it did kind of surprise me it with a depth that
pleases you.
Pleases me.
I guess, yeah.
It's kind of a Bastion-like. It's, you know, this action RPG where you're like a fox or something, but it has a cool art style. It's not like horrible, like, furry fox. It's more of like an old cartoon, like a
Wait, was that the booth where the person dressed up and they had the fox mask?
No, that was something else.
That was the one I kind of wanted to avoid. That was kind of weird.
This one has a narrator. It's kind of telling a story. You make some choices. It very much reminds me of Bastion. But you know, it plays nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's a section RPG. You have two different swords. You know, one can kind of heal you and stuff. And you know, you've seen stuff like that before. But it works well. One of the things this game has is kind of like this parry system. And they give you like enemies that you're fighting give you little indicators right before they attack you,
mm-hmm.
and you parry those attacks. But instead of like hitting a block button. Or like tapping a block button like you do in a lot of games, you actually just attack them before they get a chance to attack you because your attack is quite fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually parry with your sword by attacking the people who are attacking, kind of like your...
Is that the game looks like, that art style?
Yeah.
It actually looks pretty damn beautiful.
It's a nice-looking game, like for sure. But like I said, you know, most parries are a designated button, but this... You're parrying by attacking, and I kind of like the feel of that.
Fuck, I'm playing this tomorrow.
And it feels pretty nice as well. And again, I know they're animal people, but it reminds me more of like old Disney animated.
No, oh, nice, like Robin Hood,
like Don Bluth style.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the rabbit's kind of like gross looking. You know, your rabbit friend.
Yeah,
and you know, it's not like a game I haven't seen before. But I was impressed by just how like competent it all seemed.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, totally.
You know, we've seen a lot of just like, hey, look at this little pixely dude. You know, sit on a couch with three of your friends and.
Well, I think in that regard, it's a lot easier to make simple looking games that with good gameplay mechanics.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, you know, art is expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you can get away with space consuming when it comes to actual like data and actual game.
I mean, honestly, I'm fine with this kind of like retro renaissance that we're kind of experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of really, really beautiful retro looking games, but you know, it is nice to see. It is nice to see.
I mean, they're charming, but you don't want every game to be like
I've seen the most beautiful pixel art ever. And I'm over it.
Yeah, it doesn't really get much better, does it?
And it's getting a little it's getting a little tired.
Do you guys want to talk about Invisigun Heroes while we're circling around the subject?
Or any number of what was that fucking pixel co-op game we were playing where we were getting the different weapons from the gun dispenser and
that is called
what I'm saying.
Super Mutant Alien Assault.
Could have been any number of games we played.
Hey, Super Mutant Alien Assault was pretty fun.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
It's a nuclear throne, Binding of Isaac.
It had nice pixel art.
No, it's not even though because it's not like a roguelike. You're going level to level. One screen, you finish the level. Yeah, there isn't even like a side scrolling camera to it. Like you see the whole level on screen at the same time.
Yeah,
which that was fine. Invisigun Heroes was kind of interesting though.
That's probably one of my favorite games on the show.
It was basically old school Bomberman.
Yeah, and so that was actually one of their inspirations. Was they liked that kind of? Yeah, I was talking to the developers because this game's actually on Kickstarter right now. It ends in a couple of weeks, and they're about halfway through. I was like, you know, this kind of makes me think of that. And he's like, you know what? I love Bomberman. And the one thing I love most about Bomberman, anyone can play it.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a random person who's never played it before pick it up and actually have a good time and be pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's what they wanted to do with this game is make it simple.
It is.
And it isn't even... Well, it's a pretty even playing field with a few exceptions.
Bomberman is half the equation, though. Yeah. It's Bomberman mixed with, Screen Cheat.
Yeah.
Where you can't see anybody, you can't see your character, you can't see anyone else's character, unless they're firing their gun or they're running into an object on the stage.
Or using their ability.
And the one stage that we played on was extra interesting because it was snow, so there were certain sections of the stage where if you walked across the snow, you could see the footprints.
Yeah.
It was a cool game. I liked it. I had fun with it. I was getting into it. I did notice that the game before us, the one guy who was just fucking like cleaning up, also was completely like just ignoring that whole invisible part of the game. Jumping everywhere, firing his gun, and just blitzing everyone out.
I wasn't jumping it. So I actually used the hide in a corner strategy and let everyone kill each other. Mm. And
I thought about doing that, and then I realized that wouldn't be very fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I won.
shame on me.
It depends. So, and that's something they're still working on is balancing all the abilities.
That guy I was talking about got glitched to where his character wouldn't turn invisible.
Wait, did
again.
We tell people what the concept is?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it's like Bomberman four player versus. Everyone's trying to kill each other. You have one life. If you get hit with a bullet, you're dead.
No, did you mention the fact that you're invisible?
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Okay,
that was a whole big part of it. Yeah. It's okay. Nick has been awake for a long time.
Thanks, Chris Davis. y'all didn't see other stages, and I talked to them about them. So they have one stage where it's like in a city, and there's like automatic doors. So if you go up to the door, like the door opens, and that's another clue that you're nearby. Or they have like security cameras that will follow people who get close to them.
Yeah.
And so all these little tells in the world of where characters are.
Apparently, the audio is a big deal.
Yeah, a big
which
deal.
We didn't have headphones.
Now here's one thing. Well, I guess this is kind of what makes the game interesting. But I feel like I wish there was a way for me to know where I was standing.
And that's hard when everyone's looking at the same screen.
That's why I was thinking, God, this would be kind of cool to play with, VR or something where, when you're looking through it, all you see is your character.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the game.
That is part of the game. Yeah, it is. But there are so many times where, I just died because I literally was running into...
And that comes to when you got to keep going in one direction until you tap something and you see your color pop up and you're like, all right, that's where I am.
Yeah, but when these things pop up, the little flashes or something, and it's kind of hard to tell. You can't see anybody, so it's kind of hard to tell if that's you or somebody else.
You go based on your color.
Yeah.
Because you always see your color. And the other thing is every character has a unique ability. So there's one character, like I said, the jump. Only one character can jump. There's one character that has a dash.
The character you could spawn a block that would reflect bullets back at people.
Yeah.
Mine would create a random fake ping. Whenever you bump into a wall, the block that you hit flashes your color, mine would just make a random block on the screen flash
so,
that color.
So yeah, so he could literally spam that and just tap, 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 and every all of a sudden you just see pings all around the map, and you don't know which one is him, but he knows where he is. And so
in theory,
hopefully you know where you are. And so, I mean, that's one of the things that makes it cool. One guy can spawn like a sentry that kind of roams around the map. And if anybody's in its vicinity, it will make them appear. And if it gets too close, it will lock on and it will start chasing that person.
I think if I had to compare this to something, it would be like a cross between Bomberman and Screen Cheat.
Yeah, that's the best.
Because Screen Cheat was another game we played last year that I really liked. And that was whole built upon the idea of playing a multiplayer game where everyone's invisible.
Yeah.
So that's cool. It's called
Invisible. As cool as this is, Invisigun as great Heroes. As this twist is, there's so many like games 4B, of this like, genre yeah. that are really, really good that you don't have. I
remember Capsule Force. It was awesome, and then we never played it.
Yeah.
That's at the show this year.
That is at the show floor still.
There's
yeah.
a lot of.
I thought it was okay. I was never like that. Taken with Capsule Force.
You know what game I like that we played last year at PAX South, which is here again. I'd like to play it tomorrow. It might be out. Is it called Night Squad?
Night Squad. That's out. Yeah.
Night Squad.
Oh, yeah. Another one.
That game has been in every single PAX I've ever been to.
That game's been at PAX for at least 3 years.
Oh, man.
How is that game still in development?
It's not in development. It's just, it's an indie game.
It's one of the mini games that's been out.
Like, we can buy it?
I have it.
We should play that on the feed.
That's a fun game. It is. So another game that I saw that I actually really did enjoy as well was Night in the Woods.
Oh, yeah. The cat?
Yeah.
I like that cat.
Brad likes the cat.
Oh, what were the two? So there were two games that were like kind of prototypes for that one. It was Lost Constellation.
No, and
companions for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the lady who was working the booth said that they built those as prototypes for concepts that show up. In that game, and they just made the story like connected, so they all take place in the same world. So they are companions, but they're originally designed as like test beds for a lot of the mechanics that they put into
Night in the Woods.
Yes, Longest Night.
Yeah,
Lost Constellation. So anyway, in the game, it's a side-scrolling adventure story-based game where you play a cat in this town. And you kind of just go around and you talk to people and you look at things, but the cat's really like angsty. It's like a 20-year-old cat who still lives at home with her parents, and her best friend's a wolf who is like kind of like a dick. Like,
he's not good.
Yeah, he stole like the neighbor's like lawn gnome just because he wanted to throw it off a roof, and you know it's kind of stuff like that. And but the thing is, it's just the writing is so good. Like the first thing that happened when I started the game, the game starts or the demo starts, and I'm in the what's her name,
May.
I'm in her room, and I just look at like a picture on the wall, and May's like, man, I could just burn the whole house down with me in it. And you can just keep clicking it, and she just keeps going on with this.
But is this supposed to be funny, like that one ghost from Undertale?
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be funny. Like, she doesn't want to kill herself. She's just like, this could happen. And then, like, if you do it enough, like, she's sort of commenting, like, hey, oh, and it turns out that the foundation of this house, someone's dead body is still there, and they died on a night just like tonight. You know, stuff, shit like that. And
then the last thing you get is just
a little figurine on fire.
Yeah.
And that's all she, like, thinks about. And then, like, you know, she just, like, goes around, and there's all these comments, and then, like, went to the kitchen to talk to her mom, and she's like, is that wolf donuts on the table? Y'all had wolf donuts for breakfast? And her mom's like, yeah, it's 4 o'clock in the evening. We had donuts for breakfast. You missed them. And just like stuff like that. And like at one point she was like, mom, yeah? Mom, yeah? Mom, yeah? I will remember this forever. it's hilarious. The writing is really well done. And the thing about that is I was talking to the PR person and she was saying the writers don't like it. Like it's not good enough for them. And if this isn't even good enough for them, I can't wait for what the final writing in the game is going to be like, because I think it's fucking hilarious. And just like kind of like just going around and talking to random people.
Wait, is this Night in the Woods?
Night in the Woods, yeah. The little cat game that looks like a kiddie game, not a kid game, not at all.
Yeah, I was.
Wait, so why is it called Night in the Woods?
because you're like animals. I don't know. this is what we talked about earlier, naming games and shit. But anyway, like, and so I found my friend Greg, who was up on a roof, and he had stolen a gnome. And, you know, he's like, ah, blah, blah, blah. Let's get out of the, yeah, garden gnome. And he's like, let's get out of this town. And he's like, you want to throw this gnome off the roof? And you have, like, there's dialogue options in this game. And it was like, of course, why else would we be here? Or, no, this gnome's going partying with us.
And it's not like an RPG where you can pick one and then go back and pick the other one.
Yeah, no, no, no. That's what happens. That's the path, yeah. And so then me and the wolf and the gnome, who they end up naming Professor something, Professor Gnome something, I can't remember.
Noam Chomsky?
No, not Noam Chomsky. they end up naming him Professor something. They go out to the donut place to eat donuts, and then they get, like, high on the donuts, and they start having these really existential conversations about donuts and how, like, the hole is their favorite part. But the hole is nothing, but the hole is surrounded by everything.
That's a Linklater movie.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is. And so there's this really long conversation about how good donuts is, and then all of a sudden the because like there's like a first person view in some parts of the game where you see the cat's paws and you can move stuff around. Like I broke into a house and it goes into first person mode, and I put one paw on the left side of the window and the one on the other, and I kind of just raised both of them up and opened the window and went inside, and I was in some random person's house.
The
and
the presentation is like.
It's spot on. Incredible. Yeah, and I went in their closet, and I like you, there's a option that lets you kind of like in like turn on dialogue, you start talking.
Closet.
Yeah, exactly. Their closet. But anyway, I'm in their closet, and it's like, what am I doing with my life in a stranger's closet? I could just stay here forever. It's just like so random. Anyway, so we're eating donuts, and so eat the donut. You have the paws on the screen, and I grab a donut and pull it down towards the bottom. They start eating it, and then like the paws start shaking, and like the music kind of goes weird, and the screen's kind of fluttering because they're getting high on these fucking donuts, and they're like, "I'm riding
sugar rush."
Yeah, sugar rush essentially. But like, I'm riding this donut chariot into hell.
I feel like that's a metaphor for something.
Probably, but dude, like the writing was fantastic, and I really enjoyed.
Shit,
I and
was
the thing
right
is,
next to this game,
dude, the problem is the tomorrow. Demo. You can play that demo
if
for
only
like
40 we had
minutes.
Another day.
Like,
that's why I didn't end up playing it,
dude. Because I played it for 20 minutes and I skipped like everything. Like, because you can talk to any person. You can select any. Like, there's so much you can do in this game.
Okay, so when I sat down to play the game, I sat down and played like the last 5 minutes of the person before me because they just left.
Yeah,
and I opened up the journal and the journal has a list like.
Oh, what was the first thing in the journal?
Something about donuts.
Dude, the first thing in the journal when I saw it was watch misery porn with mom.
Yeah.
So, that was in the to-do list.
That was not in my journal, but like eventually by the time I finished my game, I looked at my journal and I had way more stuff on mine than the other girl had on hers.
Yeah, because every time you interact with somebody, it adds something to the journal, kind of like if there's something you can do or something that's said about it.
Yeah, or like a commentary. And there's also doodles, like depending on characters you meet or stuff you do, she will doodle something in her journal sometimes. Yeah.
What does that mean, misery porn? Is that like porn based on the movie Misery? Or is it like how food porn is like shows that emphasize food?
It sounds like Lifetime.
I feel like misery.
It's like
porn
misery porn is like like watching movies sad that movies. Are just about really sad people.
Yeah,
like
probably
melodramatic.
Probably,
misery. I would describe misery porn as like cringe videos that no one always watches.
That's true. That's true.
Misery porn.
Werner Herzog.
You know, a little nitpick that I want to talk about this game. Like, you know, you talk about like breaking into the dude's house, like how you switch to the first person view.
Mm-hmm.
There's like loading screen in
the
between.
Loading is a little longer than it'd
pause,
be
and
nice
then going
to me.
Back into this 2D view, and it's way too long.
Well, I think the game. Well, yeah, the game's really early. I mean, well, I say really early. It's supposed to come out later this year. At the end of the year, I think she's quoted me a September to October or September to November time frame is when it's coming out. So I think there's still time to optimize it and kind of reduce that.
I just wish
that.
Those loading screens weren't there at all.
Oh well, yeah, obviously yeah, we all wish that. But yeah,
you played Carlos.
Man, I just closed my laptop.
Why?
Okay. So out of all the games I played, I think the one that I like the most is called Zombie Night Terror.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm getting the name right. I was looking at my buttons earlier because that's how I've been keeping track of the games I've been playing.
Oh my god.
Carlos, let's take a look at these buttons.
But Zombie Night Terror, it's like...
Zombie Night Terror. Yeah, that's it.
So it's kind of like Lemmings, but with zombies. Like, you start off, like, looking at an ant farm view of, like, a city. You know, a couple buildings with people inside. Some of them are, like, partying or playing pool or doing whatever. And you can choose to infect one of them. Like, this is a tutorial, obviously, so there's some constraints. So you can choose to infect one of them. And then he will start, like, shambling towards the right side of the screen. And anyone he runs into, he will, like, attack and eat. And then that person will then become a zombie. So now you have two zombies going towards the right. And I was talking to the devs a little bit, and they said that some levels you might have the objective of taking a certain amount of zombies to the end of the level, or maybe killing one specific person.
Yeah.
But eventually you run into like a dude with a gun who like shoot your zombies. Uh-oh. So you need to find a way to like either surprise him or build enough zombies that
he can just get through them all. Yeah.
They'll just overpower him.
Yeah.
There's also dudes with like melee weapons that will take out several of your zombies at once. But zombies are also really stupid in that if there's a hole, they will just fall into the hole.
Oh, yeah.
So what you need to do is like...
But you can use that as a strategy maybe. I don't play it, I'm guessing.
But you can choose one of your zombies to become like an overlord, and they like plant themselves into the ground, and what they do is they tell zombies where to go. You can whenever you plant your overlord, you tell them either left or right.
Okay.
So like what you do is you put your overlord at the edge where they're going to fall off and just have him go the other way.
Yeah.
This does sound like Lemmings.
Yeah.
I didn't get to play more of the game because I was having kind of problems with it.
Where is it?
It's where they're playing Hard Reset.
Hard Reset?
Okay. Yeah.
That's the thing I was talking with our community earlier about PAX and stuff. Even though this PAX is small, it is so easy to miss games. Like, you can walk past a game 10 times and not see it.
Yeah, and Hard Reset, they actually have
a PS4 version. I still don't know where Stories is.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy how even the convention isn't...
In the middle somewhere.
You know, obviously everything's in the middle somewhere. It's just crazy how easy it is to miss games, and it sucks because sometimes you really want to. You might not even know about it.
So I went and played a game today that was actually a game I played at PAX South last year, but it's gone through some changes. Lightfall.
Yeah, Lightfall. Yeah. The puzzle, you know, kind of almost Limbo-esque looking game, or with more puzzle elements.
Yeah, and it looked a little bit more like Limbo last year. It was a lot darker last year. It was very much supposed to be that contrast between light and dark. And it still is kind of to a degree, but it's a puzzle platformer, side-scrolling platformer that's like super fast-paced in terms of like your character runs really fast.
Yeah,
and you know you jump a lot and you build momentum before you jump, and you know, and there is as you're running you build a lot of momentum. Like my biggest problem with this game is that it's so easy to like get jumping and moving really fast, and the moment you realize, oh shit, you gotta stop, it's really hard to stop.
But one of the cool things is you can spawn these blocks and you can spawn them under you.
Yeah.
So you'd be like jumping, spawn, jump, spawn, jump, spawn to keep going. It's a lot of fun and adds.
So
Jesus.
Bro. So literally as you're jumping, you can tap A and a block will appear underneath it. And you have a limited number of blocks you can create, so you can't just infinitely do that.
Yeah.
Or you can create a block in the air above you, and then you can use the left stick to kind of move it around and interact with things in the environment, which is pretty cool.
It's almost like that Albert and Otto game where you can kind of use the telepathy to move objects in the world kind of type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But one thing I noticed is from like last year, like I said, it looks a lot like Limbo, and they've introduced a lot of color into it now.
That's interesting.
It's a brighter game. Like the ground that you're moving on and the character itself is still like pretty much entirely black, but it's against like a brighter like purple background with like a moon, and like it just looks a lot more visually I think striking than it used to. But other than that, I mean it's a really cool game. It's going to be one of those games that's just ultimately about mastering those mechanics and getting used to moving that quickly and controlling that momentum. But I had a lot of fun with it, so I'd recommend it. It's over there by what's that game with the sounds?
Just Shapes and Beats.
Yeah, it's over there.
That
right?
Game
just Shapes
looks cool,
and
but there's always a crowd.
There's always a crowd on it.
Yeah, we played that last year.
Yeah, we did. They added some new stuff to it, but yeah, it's still a lot of fun.
Yo, Carlos, what else did you
play? Wait. Chrissy was pointing out something in my notes here. I have a list of the games that I want to talk about, at least a little bit. There's one that I just wrote, that game that the second part is a play, because I can't remember.
That game that what?
That game that the second part is a play.
The second part is a play.
Is a play?
I can't remember the name of the game, and they did not have buttons. So
what do you mean the second part is a play?
I guess
there's
two. Like, let me tell you what the game is.
I want to hear about this.
So like the game is like a JRPG. Like they said it's like a 4 to 5 hour, very heavily focused on story RPG. No side quest, just main story. But the kind of interesting thing about it is that the second part of the game is a play. Like an actual play with actors on
like
the stage.
Like a stage play.
And that they're going to have to play later on this year in April. They're going to live stream it. And it's going to be somewhat interactive, in which the audience is going to be given these little sticks with the letter A or the letter B on them. And at certain points in the play, they will hold up either one or the other to make the decision on something.
What?
And that'll affect like how the play.
Oh, so it's like, so it's like not a play to, in the game. It's like literally
it's an actual stage production.
Here in San Antonio.
Hmm.
What?
What the fuck is this called?
That's some crazy shit.
I have no
shit.
Idea.
Art imitates life, you guys.
Yeah.
What else?
The last game that I wanted to talk about was a game we did see last year. But it was actually last year was the first year we saw it, and that was Enter the Gungeon.
Yes, I wanted to bring that up
too. From Dodge Roll.
Today was my first day playing that. First time playing that.
Sick run.
Yeah.
Dude, it was so bad.
So one of the things that has been introduced since last year is they introduced co-op in the game, which I did not see coming, honestly. So, I mean, it is a roguelite dungeon crawler where, you know, all the enemies are guns.
Yeah.
All the enemies are ammunition.
Yeah.
And depending on.
Well, not all of them.
No, because there was a boss.
There's like books and shit.
Well, okay. So, well, sorry. So, yeah, I always describe it that way, but that's because last year that was the case.
And
yeah,
characters, all the enemies use guns in one way or another. So, like, one of the bosses was like a man with like a bird head.
No, he was like Vulcan Raven.
Yeah.
No, it was, yeah. What was he called?
Gatling Gull.
Gatling Gull. Yeah. And they have really unique, you know, and they, like one of the ones we saw was Ammo Conda, and it was like a snake that like I did some. What was the one with the acid? It was like not Medusa.
Oh, the Gorgon.
Yeah,
Gorgon.
Gorgon. Yeah, Gorgon. And it was like kind of like this like snake like Medusa looking creature, Gorgon. And she. Yeah, like a Gorgon, yeah.
Gorgon.
And so she would, like, dive under, like, the water, I guess the kind of ground you were on, and then come back up. But then she would, like, circle around you really quickly, and you can avoid it. But if you don't, you get kind of stuck inside like, this pool of acid.
And you can't move.
And you can, but if you touch the acid, you lose health. But yeah, and it's just like, oh my, just fast-paced action.
There's the ghost mechanic in which when one of the players dies, they become a ghost. And the only ability they have is that they can like send out a pulse that destroys bullets.
Oh. Yeah. So think of.
I ended up in that situation fairly quickly. Yeah. I didn't know I could do that.
And though. So that's one of the things that I want to talk about is I don't know. I have an interview with one of the developers tomorrow, and so this is some of the questions I'm going to ask. But in the character selection, the first player can choose between a bunch of different characters. And the second player only has one choice. It's just this kind of like this
cultist
character. Oh. And they can't choose to be anyone else. And I hope that's not the case. I hope they can be a character. It's a small thing in my opinion because they can still pick up guns and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah. So if one of them dies, they become a ghost, and they can only be revived by if you have like the special like revivability or if you have
Friendship cookie.
Yeah, friendship. There's some items that you can have that will revive them, and
or you can find a coffin a la Spelunky.
Yeah, so that's what I want to say. So it's almost like Spelunky. So in Spelunky, when one of your characters dies, they become a ghost, and they can interact by you know blowing a puff of smoke or air or whatever. And in this, you can't do that, but yeah, you can create a pulse, a 360 degrees pulse that any bullet in that will just go away.
Oh God, really?
Yeah, and that's really cool because you can, if you that die,
so helpful.
You
Nick.
Can literally help your teammate by like if they're about to get hit, you can protect them.
Our pitiful, me and Crispy's pitiful run was pitiful.
Dude, I found a super soaker though right before I died, and it was sick. It was great. Cool.
No, we literally started, and Crispy was like, "Nick, push A to go back to the main menu to start again," and he said, "Push A," and then I pushed B.
Or no, it was the opposite. I said, push B to go back to the main menu.
And pushed A.
Quick restart with A, yeah.
And that
you dumb.
Up, and yeah. That ended up...
It didn't really matter, though, because, you know, I didn't know what any of
Well, yeah, and I think it was y'all's first time playing it. And
it wasn't my first time playing it, but...
When was the last time you played it? A year ago?
It was
yeah,
my
well, yeah, that's yeah. what I'm saying.
It looked like your first time playing it.
Ah,
fuck you, Brad.
It looked like my first time playing a video game.
And so you had mentioned the Super Soaker, right, Crispy?
Yeah.
And this game has hundreds and hundreds of crazy guns. Like, and they have, like movie-famous guns. There's, like, Mega Man's Buster is one of the guns. one of the ones...
The Meat Boy.
Yeah, there's... y'all didn't see... Did y'all see that one? There's a Super Meat Boy... gun that shoots out the saws from Super Meat Boy, but they bounce off the wall up to like three times. So in the boss battle with Vulcan Raven, the person we were watching started using that, and there's just blades bouncing all over the screen, and there's no friendly fire, so they're just like destroying the like Raven. And there's just oh my god, there's all these different. I'm trying to think of some of the ones we got.
Two things I wanted to point out.
There's a gun that shoots swords.
Yeah,
of course there is.
Yeah. Of course.
There's two things I thought stood out to me that were really cool. One of which is just, I think, visually speaking, like there's a lot of games that kind of have adopted this style, especially from Devolver. Mm-hmm. In fact,
Devolver's the publisher. This is from Dodge Roll.
Yeah,
this
but
is
I mean,
their
like
first like official,
but like
game.
Devolver,
yeah, Devolver's style of games that they like
they
to
gravitate
produce,
towards
as far
these
as
types
how
of
they
games.
Curate their.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like I think it shares it has kind of a lot in common with like. I think more detail, though, but like it has more a lot in common with like Titan Souls and the way that game looks. But to a more detailed extent, mm-hmm. like the game looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just as far as that like retro pixel,
it's pretty cute
style we're looking at. But like it's super detailed and like super like the colors are super.
Yeah, like when you walk through water, you make little waves on it.
Yeah, it's like it's so there's so many little details that are great about it. Also, the ability to go up behind tables and flip them up
as cover
looks really cool. Especially there'll be like books on
you
it.
Can,
you like
you
flip
can do
it,
the
and
fucking,
like
everything goes flying.
Yeah, you can do the fucking dive and you can flip tables for cover. That like
you can
that
dive
is,
behind
dude,
it.
That
and
is
flip it, yeah.
Classic
dude,
gunfight shit.
Explosions look so cool. In
oh,
this
they
game
do.
Too.
So yeah. Some of the enemies are grenades.
Yeah,
and they come running at you,
they're
and
so
you got to blow them up before they get to you.
I think that's how Nick went.
Probably.
Yeah.
So some other stuff. There's like you know there's almost Zelda style like things you come across like. In the old school Zelda games like Link to the Past there's this one room there's those rolling pins and if you get hit by it you lose health but there's two of them rolling in opposite frequencies so you have to kind of time it right and we were watching a person and they went a little early and they had to wait a second but it turns out all the tiles on the floor if you stand on it too long it drops through and so it's just like all these little things you can there's sometimes there's rooms that have big gaps and you can do that dodge to jump across to maybe get an item that's in the middle but if you miss time it or miss whatever you'll fall into the hole and you know, lose health and stuff. One thing that's great about this style, it's roguelite. So you're exploring this entire dungeon that's kind of randomized, and you find the boss battle, but you maybe haven't explored everything yet. You want to go back and find it all. There is, thankfully, a teleport ability. You can teleport anywhere that you've any room from anywhere to any room that has a teleport icon that you've activated.
And like Zelda, the door, like you know when you're about to walk through the door and fight a boss.
Yeah. It's very obvious.
It's never too late to like turn around and keep exploring. In fact, I saw a lot of people unlock the boss room and then turn around.
Totally. And so one of the, there's more to this game than just roguelite. You will encounter shopkeepers and you can buy stuff from them, but you can actually, there's like story kind of based stuff. You'll find someone, maybe you'll save them.
Yeah.
And later on they might show up again.
Yeah.
You might find an illegal underground dealer and he'll sell you some stuff, but then maybe later on you'll find a cop and you can tell the cop about that dealer.
Yeah.
And if you do, the cop might go bust him. And if you don't, maybe that dealer would be like, hey, I heard you didn't rat me out. Thanks. Here's something. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that, that kind of just like little things in this game that's so much fun.
I'll be playing it.
You know what's cool?
Today sold it.
Castlevania Harmony of Despair.
Harmony of Despair was cool, Brad.
All right. Is there anything else?
I think that's it from me.
As far as
PvZ 2 seems cool.
Brad and I did play, Crispy as well, right? Crispy.
Brad, do you want to come over here?
You were on the opposite side of the thing. I couldn't physically see you. Brad, Crispy, and myself played Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. It was okay.
It was weird.
It was more of Garden Warfare 1 with some new elements added to it. Apparently, there's going to be a single-player campaign.
That's what I hear.
It was clever. It was okay.
Like an open hub world with missions and stuff.
Brad, they can't hear you when you're that far away. They can't hear you at all.
Brad said there was an open hub world with side missions
supposedly.
And stuff. Supposedly.
What game is this for?
Plants vs. Zombies. Garden Warfare 2.
What?
Garden Warfare 2.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun, Brad says.
All right.
They can hear me.
No,
he
can't.
Says,
it's not about
he
being
says
able
they
to hear
can
you.
Hear
it's
him.
About you being really low.
It's about you suck, Brad.
All right. It's late.
Carlos.
Yeah. What?
One more.
Okay, I played this really bad tablet game that I can't remember the name of either.
Don't say a bad game.
Fuck it.
Dude, I've skipped so many games because they are bad. I don't want to talk about how I
did it. This is more of an experience that I had. So I'm trying to play this game, and the guy comes up to like interview the developers, and I'm playing on a tablet, but my gameplay is being broadcast on a monitor, right?
So they point
the monitor toward to be behind the person they're interviewing, and I'm trying to play this game, which is like a third person over the shoulder.
So you're basically
Hill.
Controlling the footage being shown in this interview.
Yeah, and all I'm doing is like trying to walk through a door and getting stuck on the frame. And like I back up a little bit and I just try again and I get stuck again. And that was me for like 5 minutes.
That's the game.
So, like, while they're talking about this game, you're showing, like, how well optimized it is. Yeah.
I felt so bad. I just, like, put it down and walked away.
Nice.
That's great.
All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for our PAX South. I mean, if there's anything that we, anything outside of this that, you know, we didn't get to talk about tonight, we'll probably bring it up on our podcast this week.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But I think tomorrow we're just going to kind of comb through it and play a few things that we've seen that we haven't had a chance to yet, but for the most part, that covers a lot of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought PAX had some good games this year. I mean, unfortunately, it wasn't big as last year, but so many more people than last year, and hopefully,
it's definitely growing.
Hopefully, that drives publishers to bring their games and their bigger publishers to show up at PAX.
Omnibus is my game of the show.
Omnibus is a game great. We haven't talked about.
Sir
it's
Bus.
A good game, though.
Sir Bus match.
I will say this. Like, it is growing. They actually used the other side of the expo hall this year.
Hmm.
There are more people this year than last year.
One thing we didn't really talk about. Song of the Deep.
Oh, we didn't talk about Song.
Shit. So the reason
you don't want to sit here.
The reason we didn't talk about this was because it was literally the first game
we saw.
It's
like the one game we made an appointment
Friday
for.
Morning when we showed up.
I didn't get to see this.
The new GameStop
Ted Price.
That is fucking weird, right?
Was in the room when we walked in from Insomniac.
That's Ted Price.
Yeah. And so yeah, Song of the Deep. We got to play a little demo of it. You know, Metroidvania. The guy talking to us again. He's like, yeah. Metroidvania, and like he's straight up not even. It's a Metroidvania, underwater. You know, you're this girl, Marin, and your dad's died, and you kind of find out all of the songs of the deep that he sung to you and stories he told you. They're all like true, and you're kind of you kind of hobble together from spare parts this submarine, and now you're exploring the deep. And so it's they told us that's going to be 50-50 exploration and puzzles. And we only saw a couple of puzzles. There's this
combat.
Puzzles.
Combat? 50-50 combat puzzles?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Oh, sorry. I misspoke. One cool mechanic is your submarine has this claw, and you can reach out and grab things. You can use it to attack enemies, or you can, like, pick up rocks and throw the rocks.
So, I'll be honest. The only gameplay footage I've seen in this game was, like, 5 minutes of him trying to grab rockets and throw back at this one enemy, and I was like, this looks boring. But I was like, I'm sure this is... I'm just seeing, like, one isolated thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, Jesus Christ, come on.
Like, one puzzle mechanic... I came across a puzzle where I had to pull a chain that opened up a gate.
Yeah.
And I had to get this this top of the statue in there, but I couldn't get over there fast enough. So I had to fling the statue using my grappling hook thing, a claw thing to get it over there.
I gotta say, this game didn't knock my socks off.
I agree, it did not.
There's
knock
a lot
my socks
of Metroidvanias
off.
Out there, and this one didn't seem so special to me yet. So.
And it remains to be seen. And we saw a small portion. One cool thing is you can get out of your submarine. As Marin, you can swim around to get into smaller areas and maybe help solve some puzzles. What's up, Chris?
You know, I was thinking about it, and the concept of this game actually kind of reminds me of Anne.
And you know, that's literally the first. I didn't want to bring it up while we were in that meeting. Like, this makes me think of Anne.
Anne looks incredible, though.
Yeah.
But it's the same basic concept where, like, you've got a character, they've got this, like, iconic vehicle, but you're doing the whole, like, 2D Metroidvania thing where, like, you're switching back and forth between the character and the vehicle, and they can each do different things, and blah, 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 blah.
Here's a question. Where the fuck is Anne?
What happened to Anne?
Yeah, I don't know.
What happened
games,
to Mo?
Games by Mo. Yeah, so, what happened
someone
to Mo?
Check up,
is
someone
Mo okay?
Check on Mo.
Mo, do you listen to our show? Mo, are you okay?
Mo!
But yeah, Song of the Deep, it seemed pretty good. It's weird that it's Insomniac teaming up with GameStop.
That's first GameStop published game.
And there was a GameStop employee, a guy there from GameStop, and they were like, hey, this guy's from GameStop. And he was like, hi. I think he left after that. I didn't see that guy anymore. I think he literally left the room.
Oh, no, he was there. I was talking to him. And,
two weird things strike me about this. One, the GameStop's publishing it. I didn't know GameStop was trying to get into the publishing.
GameStop's doing everything. Okay. They're trying to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Second thing is, apparently, you can buy a retail version of this game.
Yeah, for $15 at GameStop.
It's your dream, Nick.
$15
like,
disc at GameStop.
Like, that's great. And if I play this game, if it's good enough, maybe I'll buy it. But, like, it's still, you know, it seems kind of...
Oh, now all of a sudden...
Wait, what? If you play it,
it's
Nick, it's coming out this summer.
It's not good enough for your physical copy.
Nick, it's coming out this summer.
I know.
Like, you're gonna play it when it comes out. Well, like, yeah. You're not gonna see it in any shows.
This is also a game I'm gonna kind of wait and see what people are saying about it.
Yeah.
It just struck me as weird that, like, a game that, clearly a game that's meant to be sold on a digital platform for $15 is also getting a physical release.
I bet there's gonna be a lot of used copies sitting in GameStops.
Probably,
yeah.
Selling for $13.
Well, that's if a lot of people buy it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying even if they don't.
Just open up. All right. Games. Well, I think that's all I got.
I think this is all we got for our PAX South podcast. It's been fun. It's good. It's always good to go to PAX. So
I would like to thank the multitude of community members that showed up for our meetup. We really appreciate them, you know, hanging out with us. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they were great. Everyone was really cool.
Danger Locker.
Oh my God.
Rabies King.
It's all good.
Yeah. Reborn.
Anyway. We had fun with people that showed up. We appreciate. It's always good to see people.
Shut the fuck up, bro.
Jesus Christ, Brad. I think that's it for PAX. We're gonna just try and wrap it up tomorrow. Play a few things we missed, and then
head
head back to Austin. Maybe we'll try and find a board game for our next board game night. I don't know.
We already have multiple board games lined up.
We haven't done.
We should probably just have a board game day tomorrow.
Yeah.
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 Let's do it.
I'm ready.
Fuck it. So that's it, guys. Thanks for listening. And I think we'll see you or talk to you on the next podcast.
Peace out, bitches.
Bye. Peace out, bitches. Bye.